Hello, and welcome to my podcast, John Scott Lawton's English You Know. In this episode, I interview Michaela Smith, a transformational coach who focuses on imposter syndrome. In this episode, we revisit imposter syndrome, having done a previous podcast on the topic, and we look at the basics, where it comes from, how it affects us, how it makes our body feel, and indeed the impact it can have on other people who we live with or work with. Michaela goes into some details and she talks around her personal challenges that she's faced in the past few months. If you're interested in this episode, perhaps you'd like to explore some other podcasts which I've produced on similar themes, but also covering management topics, leadership, coaching, support, and English language topics in particular. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to make contact, please email me, johnscottlawton@hotmail.co.uk, or visit my LinkedIn page and send me a message or connect via the notes in the podcast description. Thank you very much indeed. Michaela, it's lovely to see you again. Welcome back to the podcast. You are pretty much my favoured guest, not from my point of view, but my audience, my customers, you know, people listening to this really enjoy your podcast. So I want to go into some detail today. We're going to call this something like Back to Basics, Imposter Syndrome, what it is. There's a challenge in there about whether this only relates to women, because this is being launched on International Women's Day. And I'm pretty sure I know what your answer is going to be, but we're going to go into that. And I want to know a little bit about yourself, what you've been doing. It's a good 6 months since we've spoken online. So how are you? What are you doing and what's in the future? But let's just start with that. Then we'll go into back to imposter syndrome.
Hello, and I am so excited to be back. Thank you so very much for having me back. And thank you to you, but also to everybody who listens. I also feel like we are, you know, this is just becoming a family, isn't it? I just feel like, yeah, John is back, all his audience is back. So hi, everyone, wherever you're listening from, because I'm sure it's in Slovakia, but it's also outside of Slovakia. So hi, everyone. And I think before I go and speak about myself, John, just before we started recording, you have done an amazing Elvis impression. Would you like to do that for your audience?
Oh, my God. Preboha, as they say in Slovak. Okay. This is what I used to do when I announced the teams at Matlock Town, my local football club. I had the job of reading out the team. So number one, Barry Siddle, number two, somebody else, number three, John Lawton, whatever. And then the goals, of course. But to test the microphone, when I started in the, can't really call it a stadium, but it's in the ground, I would do this. I said, one for the money, two for the show, three to get a red, now go, cat, go. I got a little lady with her eyes of blue, I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Okay, like that.
Yeah. Well, people can't see us, but I'm having a little dance in here, and it's amazing, beautifully, beautifully sunny day in here. I just came back from the beach, and you are singing for me, like, how good life is. Thank you very much for that intro.
That's fine. I need to check that's Elvis. I've always said Elvis, but I do like Elvis songs. But other songs are available later, maybe. So yeah. What's happening with you? We're not going to go into detail, but I know you've had a difficult period over the past few months. We can scoot over that. We can skim over that. But where should we start? Should we talk about the fact that you yourself have just told me, and I read in your newsletter recently, and I know you've spoken about this at conferences recently. A few weeks ago, you had your own very deep experience with imposter syndrome. So it's not personalizing it, but let's start from there. Why does somebody who trains other people in what imposter syndrome is and definitely helps them through it, how come you experienced it for yourself? What happened?
Yeah, so first of all, yeah, it's been a funky few months for me on this side of the Zoom call. So my husband has been in the hospital since December, really, 24th of December. So he still is in hospital as we are recording this on the 7th of March. Getting better though, so it seems like he hopefully will be coming home either next week or the week after. So really, I had such a beautiful plan, John, for 2024, you know, the business plan, like, because the last year was really great. I had a beautiful business plan. I had engaged with a new business mentor down here, you know, where I live. We had a first session together in December. You know, he went through my business plan, and then universe goes like, bless you, sweetheart. You know, I love your plans, but that's not what I'm planning for you. We are going to mix things up a little bit for you. And so, yeah, so Trevor basically went to the hospital on the 24th. January was tough. I never suffer, you know, like people suffer from January blues. Like I have never had that kind of feeling. And this January, I definitely did have. And I was like, this is just the longest month ever. I couldn't wait for it to finish. And then things started settling down in February. I started kind of finding my rhythm again. But I really, as I fell out of that rhythm of the business, you know, and engaging with my business activities and trying to kind of navigate the uncertainty, it's been really, really difficult for me to get back on track, on the business track. You know, like I spoke with my coach and I spoke with my friends, and I was like, I literally do not know where to start. Like I've been feeling such an overwhelm of, you know, when you are working for somebody, you are being given what to do, right? So like, do this, you know, get on with it. When you are running your own business, I was like, there are millions of things, and I've had so many ideas, and I was like, I literally didn't know where to start. So I really, really been processing over the last few weeks, I would say. And so I think that in connection with that, the imposter syndrome, like textbook imposter syndrome situation, came up for me out of blue, as it always does. And to answer your question, you know, I am obviously coaching people through their challenges with imposter syndrome. It does not mean that I will never, ever experience imposter syndrome. There are layers and layers and layers and layers. And more work we do, deeper we go, and more and more surprising layers come up. So I am forever a student, and I share what I've learned and where I am. And at the same time, I am work in progress when it comes to me. And I'm sure when I'm 140, I still will be pulling out the layers of imposter syndrome that are sitting there. So what happened to me was, in January, it was 2 years since I started my own business. And when Trevor was taken to the hospital, one of the first thoughts, and actually I did, yeah, as you said at the beginning, I did share this in my newsletter with my audience. And I did speak about this in the conference last week where I was one of the speakers, because I think this is just so, as I said, such a textbook situation to showcase how imposter syndrome can subconsciously run our life. So in January, it was 2 years since I started my business. And when Trevor was taken to the hospital, one of the first thoughts that came to me was, well, if my business fails, I will have a perfect excuse. And I can tell people, Trevor is in a hospital, it's really bad. I am the carer, have been carer, you know, for my husband for the last few years, because as we spoke before, he was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2017. So I've been really caring for him. But now it's even, you know, it's another type of illness that is coming up. So I, you know, if my business fails, I have got a perfect excuse, and people will understand that I just don't have energy. So if I go and look for a business, for a job, everybody will understand. And I'm like, what? Like, where is this thought even coming from? Like, where is this thought coming from? Because I've had a really great last year. I've had, as I told you, such a beautiful business plan lined up for this year. Really, really eager to expand my business and scale up. And so I was like, what's going on? But, you know, when I get these kind of weird thoughts, I know something, my subconscious is up to something, and something's cooking in there. And it's really, really important to pay attention to these thoughts, because they are trying to tell me something, right? Very often what we do, we're just like, what's going on? And we just dismiss these thoughts, and then we just carry on, right? I know, because I've been doing this work for such a long time, that this is something I really, really need to pay attention to. And so I've sat with this through the tools that I have with my clients, through my coach, working with my coach. I was like, okay, what is this trying to tell me? Like, what is the message in here? And then the breakthrough came. So when I worked in the corporate, I worked always, and again, I don't want to go back because it's not necessary. We've done many podcasts together, but basically I worked for a corporation and I was moved every 2 years from one hotel to another, where I was working as a commercial director, director of sales and marketing. And more or less after every two and a half years, I would be moved or I would ask for a transfer to another hotel. So I would come to the hotel, I would fix things in the hotel, I would make things better, I would become a superstar, and then I would ask to be moved again to another hotel. So every two and a half years, this would be happening.
You don't just mean hotel, you mean country.
On a high.
Yeah. You would move country as well, wouldn't you?
A hotel and country and continent, yeah, yeah. So I would always leave on a high. I would always leave as a superstar, right? So I built this reputation for myself that I was really, really good at what I was doing. Now, in January, it was 2 years since I started my own business, right? And so my subconscious mind detected it's time for me to move on.
Change.
Absolutely, change. It's time for a change. It's time to go, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had really good 2 years in my business. And I have built up the base of clientele. I have built up my visibility really, really quickly. I have built up connections here locally in the area where I live. So very the same pattern as when I was actually employed now with my business. And my subconscious goes like, okay, great job, Michaela. Well done, girl. It's time to go.
Yeah.
It's only that this time there is nowhere to go, right? It's like the only way where to go is to go and get a job or start another business, which is absolutely not, you know, a plan for me. And so I'm going like, why would I want to do this? Like, why would I want to be moving? And then again, the breakthrough started coming through, and it was my subconscious wants me to move because I believe that I am great for 2 years. I am great to come, build foundations, build a quick success. And then it's time for me to go because I don't believe I am able to create a sustainable success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am not good enough to run a sustainable success. And so I want to leave before people discover that I'm a fraud and people discover that I am not good enough. And so every 2 and a half years, it's time to move as a superstar before people find out that I actually don't know what I'm doing.
Mm. Interesting. And that was a breakthrough moment for you when you spotted that time pattern. Do you think we all have these time patterns? Do you think they're all, everybody has these within their subconscious?
Everybody, whether it's time related, whether it's whatever other pattern, like we function, our brain is basically functioning as a series of patterns. That's how we function. So the patterns are there for every single one of us all the time. And so for me, this was like a huge, huge, you know, such a relief, because if we do not spot these patterns, and most of the time we don't spot these patterns, right? Because they are so subconscious and they are like, we do not connect the dots. But then what starts happening is that we start subconsciously self-sabotaging. So if I do not know what the pattern that I'm running is, or if I don't see it, I can't change it. And so subconsciously, I'm going to start doing something to self-sabotage myself and reconfirm that pattern.
Why are we trying to prove to ourselves that we're right? Why don't we learn that actually we can change that pattern?
Because we don't know we are running it. We just don't know we are running it. If we do spot the pattern, and that's why it's so important to start learning these kind of signs that body always gives us.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm feeling uncomfortable, if I'm feeling contracted in my body, if there are some weird thoughts that are coming up, you know, this is not just something that is just popping up. These are all kind of signals that we want to learn to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
If we do spot the patterns, then we have a fighting chance to do something about it. But even when we do spot the patterns, very often there is a resistance from us to actually do something about it, because those patterns are so ingrained and it's difficult to change them because it's too scary to do things differently.
Okay, so this fear of change is very common, isn't it? So let's go back to basics then and slow this right down a little bit. And we'll think about imposter syndrome and the research that was done in the 70s. Now, this is where the gender challenge comes in. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to tell me that this research was only done on women. But mm-hmm. what was the nature of that research? What were they trying to test? And what were the outcomes and who were the test group, if you like? Can you go into some detail?
Yeah, so when the first research was done, it was basically done only on the group of women. For whatever reason, I have no idea why it was only women. And I think it was just historically, you know, because women are just historically shyer, not so outspoken. And of course, in 70s, you know, we are so much far ahead today than we were in 70s when it comes to the gender difference. So particularly at that time, women just looked, you know, women were so much in the background and men were just running everything, right? In the companies, you would not see women running businesses and stuff like that. And when the research was done, the imposter syndrome was called imposter phenomena. It was then changed later into imposter syndrome. And that's because it was done on the group of women only. Very often, and today I have got these questions, people ask me this question all the time: does imposter syndrome affect only women? And the question I keep saying, the answer over and over and over, no, it does not affect women only. It is just because we as women are more open to talk about it. It's easier for us to share that we are feeling maybe, you know, contracted, that we are feeling shy, that we are feeling scared. For men, it's still a challenge to admit that I am not feeling confident, or, you know, it's still a challenge, even though it is getting definitely better. Mm-hmm. But both genders are affected. There is no shame in it. It doesn't mean we are broken. Nothing broken. That are just patterns that we have not learned how to spot, how to work with, and what to do with them. That's all that is happening.
Yeah.
Really, that is all that is happening.
I think the challenge for men is this fear that they don't want to be seen as weak.
Yeah, 100%.
And the fact that men are, and here's a generalization, but from the masculine energies, men are leaders or meant to lead, question mark. Mm. Is that really true? Mm. But if men are meant to lead, and I found this when I was a chief executive, if I was having a bad day, surprise, surprise, the company had a bad day. If I was in a bad mood, the rest of the small company, but the rest of that company, charity, had a bad day too and was in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. So setting mm-hmm. the tone, leading, working by example, which I always wanted to do, usually very high energy, high intensity. When you feel that you're not worthy of that recognition or respect or support, and you get yourself into a position where you begin to doubt yourself, then everybody beneath you starts to wobble as well, starts to mm-hmm. get a little bit fragile or frail or not sure about what they should be doing. And as a leader, that's obviously not what you want. You want people to follow you with confidence because they have confidence in you. Mm-hmm. Now, not all men or all women or not all people will admit to that and will open up to it because they fear ridicule, they fear not being taken seriously, or they mm-hmm. fear people, and this unfortunately does happen, having that openness used against mm-hmm. them as some kind of tool or a weapon in the future to say, well, I know you're not really worthy of being in this role. Mm-hmm. Look at yourself. You know, that's some of the words people use. And you begin, it feeds this cycle of self-doubt, of insecurity.
100%. So I think we spoke about this last time, like my clientele is about 60-65% women and the rest of that is men. So I'm working with both genders, and what you're talking about, 100%, we all know that, right? It's that kind of leaders. First of all, from the research, our teams mirror 80% of how our teams behave is based on the mirroring of the leader, subconsciously, again, automatically. The teams don't even realize that. So yeah, absolutely, what you're saying, if you as a CEO, if you as a team leader, or if you as a leader of the team, going to be projecting certain energy, your team is just going to mirror it without them actually even realizing it. Mm-hmm. However, and I think this is where the change is really happening, this kind of narrative about men or women, it does not really matter, but of course men, it's more about men being weak if they show some kind of emotion, some kind of vulnerability, is really, 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 really changing. And I think we really do want to start changing this narrative around, because we do have great examples, like, for example, Stephen Bartlett, who is a CEO of a company. And we see a completely new era of leadership.
Yes.
That is very much visible to all of us globally. And we do not feel, I certainly don't feel, or I'm not sure if any of your listeners feel, like Stephen Bartlett is a weak man. Mm-hmm. Just because he talks about how he feels, his behaviors, his patterns, his subconscious, his imposter syndrome, all that stuff. On the contrary, we all can relate much more to him. Mm-hmm. And we go like, oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. It's normal. I am not broken. I don't need fixing. He feels the same way and he is successful, and I do want to follow him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I really, really, really want to start addressing this, because this narrative of men being weak just because they express how they really feel is really, really changing. And we see those changes mm-hmm. every day.
A great podcaster, of course. I'll make a link to his podcast, Diary of a CEO, because he has celebrity guests, he has celebrity endorsements, he has company and product endorsements, but he was, as he describes, a university dropout, a challenging early years, but more challenging later on through his own admission, through his own actions. But then, you know, very quickly realized he had a great business brain, he could develop businesses. And now I think he's kept those businesses going, but his public persona is clearly one of a man who is gentle, but he's mm-hmm. sincere, but he's also strong. And I think those combinations can work.
Yeah.
Just this slight nagging doubt I have that when you are so open and so vulnerable and you put yourself out there and you declare how you feel, of course you want people to respect that. But sometimes it does get thrown back in your face, and sometimes that makes you toughen up. And I would describe myself in that category. You know, I try to make myself open, but you then get the difficult situation where people misread that, or they take it as weakness. Mm-hmm. Actually, I see it as a sign of strength.
Yeah, and also, you know, there is a time and place what and how much you're going to share, right? So it's, we are not saying in here, let's go and at every single meeting or at every single encounter with my team, I'm going to be telling them how scared I am or how, you know, how emotional I am today, right? And so this is up to, again, of course, the leader needs to do his or her own work mm-hmm. as a priority. Mm-hmm. Understanding when it's okay to express and when it's time to say, okay, let's roll our sleeves up and there is work to be done in here. Yeah. And knowing where, what is the right place, what is the right time.
Let's just look at what happened to you then and what happened to me as well. If you had difficulties in your personal life, which you've very openly shared with us, and I respect that and I greatly, I'm thankful for it because it gives flavor to what we're talking about. Is it possible to have one area of your life completely out of kilter or out of shape or out of balance with another without it having an effect? Or if one area of your life, whether it's your personal life, your romantic life, your work life or your family life, if something is not good and is completely against what you want it to be, will it inevitably have an effect on other areas of your life? Or can we rebalance things in our busy lives?
I believe that this really, really, really deep. My view on this is we are a holistic unit. So I can pretend that this does not affect me in this area, or this area does not affect me on this area. But I believe, and this is my personal opinion, it's lying. It's lying to myself. Because I am one person, it does not matter. I can rationally and logically say, okay, I really do need to focus on work. And so I do everything possible. For example, for this period of time, I'm going to push this out because I do need to focus on delivering, let's say, a project or doing a work. It does not mean though that I am two different people and I can completely switch from this side to this side. Now, when I was at work as an employee, you are kind of forced to do that much more than when you run your own business.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't need to, in your own business, you decide where is that boundary or who you want to be. And I choose, particularly this stage of my life, I am me, whether I'm with my clients or whether I am in my private life or whether I'm with my friends. Again, how much I'm going to share, it's up to me. But today I really, really, because this is what I work with, if I do not share my own challenges with imposter syndrome or my own challenges in private life and how that affects me, then I'm just basically lying to my clients. Mm-hmm. And once again, just pretending something. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's very, very important to be open,
yep.
Not from the place of, or feel sorry for me, but from the place of this is life.
This is the word authenticity, isn't it? Being authentic. And I have a book that's in my head. It's not yet written, like a couple of my other books have been written. But this book is called The Myth of the Authentic Manager. Mm-hmm. Because I would absolutely love to believe that people would be open, people would be kind, people would be gentle, people would understand when, and I'll say men in particular, but men and women declare their emotions, declare their kind of state, yet still try to carry on without it being, as I say, turned against them. And that's my fear. But there are so many circumstances in my working career, and I'm still working for myself now, not for anybody else, deliberately. But when I did share either a personal circumstance or a family circumstance or something happening, you know, it could have been financial difficulties, a divorce. I remember starting a job as a CEO, and the day before I started, my marriage broke down and I started work the next day as a CEO. So clearly that was a challenging time and it must have had an effect on the workplace. But I tried desperately for it not to. And I was even told, leave your problems at the door. And I'm thinking, just how realistic is it for us to leave our problems in the car park and then go into a workplace and imagine everything is fine? Is that even possible?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it depends really, really on where the person is. And this depends also on the maturity of the individual person, right? Being authentic is probably the hardest thing ever. You know, we always say, well, just be yourself. But what the hell does that even mean? Especially when you come as a CEO and you have got the company to lead, just be yourself. You know, so it's definitely not the time to go and break down and start telling them, you know what, my marriage just broke down yesterday and I'm going to, you know, collapse here in the heap and I'm going to cry.
Yes.
You're not going to do that, right? But then you're going to find a way of how to make yourself more human when you feel it's appropriate in a dose that you feel it's appropriate. And you might feel it's not appropriate, and that's okay as well. So, but it really, really depends on the maturity of that person and how connected you are with yourself, and how, because this is all about internal work, right? This is about how much you trust yourself. So it's never about the other people. It's like, how much do I trust myself that I am able to hold that? I am able to share myself, not from the place of, as I said, feel sorry for me, or I don't know what, I'm looking for attention, but from just being authentic and just saying, I am going through a tough time. It does not mean I am not here for you as a leader.
Yeah.
Both are okay. We very often think it's either or. It's never either or, it's always and. It's just how much of that and do we bring, and how much of that end are we able to hold in any given situation? And that's, you know, that evolves. If we had this conversation 20 years ago, even maybe 10 years ago, I would absolutely tell you, I am two different people, one at work and one at home. So there is no judgment to where you are in your life and what you choose to do, how you choose to show up. There is no right or wrong. It's you and you alone. Mm-hmm. And what feels right to you at this moment of time.
Yeah. And I think we have to accept that sometimes some people won't like you.
Oh, 1,000,000%. But again, then it goes into that. And you mentioned the word worthiness a few minutes ago. Imposter syndrome is all about, do I feel worthy? Do I feel worthy? Do I feel like I am good enough? Because it's all about, I feel I'm not good enough, right? Am I worthy? Do I feel I am good enough as I am? I don't need your approval for me to feel worthy. Mm-hmm. It's nice to get it, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's lovely to be being given a compliment. Absolutely, yeah. We all love it, of course. But not because that needs to make me feel like I am good enough. That needs to make me feel like I'm worthy.
Yeah.
But that's the work. That's the work.
That's the need for validation. And where does that need for validation come from? Is that really subconscious?
That is very much subconscious. So, you know, imposter syndrome, can't remember who spoke about this last time. So the forms of imposter syndrome are we really, really can see playing imposter syndrome out beautifully through people pleasing, procrastination. I'm just looking at, do we have somebody coming in on the call?
No, this is AI. The artificial intelligence is trying to invade
our... Yeah, we're just looking at the AI coming and joining us.
John is busy trying to delete read AI meeting notes. So 1 second. I had to put read stop, but I don't want to lose you. I'll lose the artificial intelligence. Thank you very much. Let's see what happens. So we might get something. I hope it doesn't stop the recording. I think we're okay. I'm trying to get rid of this uninvited guest, but I think we're all right. Funny.
Good now. Yeah.
So go back.
So going back. Yeah. So just, we can just look at the what I believe we were talking about this last time. How does imposter syndrome manifest? People pleasing, procrastination, perfectionism, the need to get another course, another leadership program just for me to feel like I am good enough and I have good enough skills, right? So all these things that we do are around worthiness. Do I feel I am worthy? So for example, with people pleasing, because people pleasing for me has been all my life the biggest challenge. And this is very much subconscious. We do not realize that we are doing this until one day, and many people do not even wake up to it all their lives. Actually, most of the people do not wake up, but the audience that is listening to this podcast is already audience that is self-aware, is already audience that is listening to us for a reason. So they already know what we are talking about. This is one community here. But most of the people do not wake up that we have been run by these subconscious patterns, that I am a people pleaser and I keep pleasing you, whether it's in a private relationships, whether it's at work, whether it's not being able to say no, whether it's not able to say, I'm not taking this project because I am overloaded. And so we just keep saying yes to people, for example, just because we do not believe that if we say no, they are going to like us. Mm-hmm. And so I need you to approve of me So I need you to tell me that I'm worthy of your attention, of your validation, because I do not believe that I am actually worthy without you liking me. Mm-hmm. It's because I do not like myself, full mm-hmm. stop.
Yeah.
And so the work is, what do we need to do to actually feel worthy within ourselves mm-hmm. without that external validation? Mm-hmm. And it's a huge journey.
Yeah. And I think if you and I, you know, if I'm authentic with you and with my audience here, just this concept of the inner child and the fears mm-hmm. and the traumas that we take from our early life that then develop patterns which play out in our adult life, no matter how old we are, they cycle, they come back and they repeat. What is the work that people can do there and myself? What is the work that I can do which challenges that, which helps me move on? Is it just saying bye, or is it sitting with that young child as the adult person saying, you're safe with me, walking away with them, holding their hand, cuddling them, giving the affection or the support or the validation that maybe wasn't there in such extreme, in my case, it was there, but it was expressed in a difficult way sometimes. Is that work mm-hmm. necessary for everyone? Does everyone have an inner child?
Everyone has an inner child, all of us. Is it necessary? You know, I would love for everybody to do the inner child work. I am such a massive believer in connecting with our little children, inner children. However, not everybody wants to do that work or is ready to do that work or is brave enough to do that work, because that work brings up a lot of emotion, brings up a lot of things we are not even aware that we are holding. So it really, really depends on how deep the person is ready to go. It would be much, the world would be much happier if we all just took this work as part of our growth mm-hmm. without judging, without being scared of it. But again, it's not necessary for a happy life if we want to avoid it. And many, again, most of the people don't even know that there is such a thing as an inner child work, right? Yep. But yes, all these feelings of unworthiness, all these feelings of I am not good enough, all these feelings like I need you to validate me come from childhood. And it does not mean that I have experienced a massive trauma in my life, in my childhood, but our subconscious mind just creates memories based on us not understanding how. A subconscious mind has got a mind on its own, and we can't influence it. But the subconscious mind that absolutely then drive our whole life in our adulthood. Mm-hmm. And so understanding them is giving us a much better chance to actually make the choices that I'm not going to regret later in life, or that I'm going to work through consciously instead of those patterns running my life. And me, I'm just saying, well, this is just who I am. I always attract the same type of person. I always end up with a partner, the same partner, same type of partner. I always end up with the same type of the boss. I can never find a partner. It's not about the other people. We keep attracting the same people, situations into our lives over and over and over because of our internal programming. And so until we change that programming, we're not going to start attracting different people or different situations, different outcomes. And that's why it's important to understand. So if your audience is listening to us, and if you are running into same situation, as I said, for example, I keep attracting the same type of partner, or I keep attracting the same type of situation, please stop. And stop trying to change that external situation, or stop trying to change that person. That person is just a mirror to your internal programming. And as we say, the lesson is being repeated until we learn it. And so until you realize that I need to change something within myself to start attracting different outcomes, you're just going to be running into the same situation over and over and over and over.
And this is often expressed as, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. You know, you will just
100%
get back what you give out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to a basic around imposter syndrome and the somatic or the body feeling, what it actually does to your body physiologically. Are there, again, patterns or reactions that we experience when we're feeling imposter syndrome? I know we've spoken in the past about, where do you feel emotion? Where do you feel pain? For me, it's always in the top left of my chest. But for everybody, it can be different, can't it? Do people experience their imposter syndrome in different ways in their body?
This is really, really simple. Sometimes we try to overcomplicate things. Our body always tells us immediately what we are experiencing, right? When we are in the situation, when imposter syndrome strikes, let's say you are in the meeting, because this is a very common situation. Let's say you are in the meeting and you want to speak up, you want to say something, you want to share your ideas, but you are not able to. Right? Because you are scared that you're going to say something stupid and people will laugh at you and, you know, you will kind of ruin your reputation. This is a very common thing. Oh, public speaking. How many people are scared of public speaking, right? Your body very quickly tells you something is going on. So your palms get sweaty. You start, what I used to do, let's be really, really concrete. This always used to be my thing. I always used to be scared of speaking up in the meeting, and I would be just pushing myself to do it, but my body would be telling me, don't do it, don't do it. I would get cold. Mm-hmm. I would be shivering, you know. Mm-hmm. I would get sweaty, but it was like a cold sweat.
Yeah.
I would get red marks on my face, on my neck. My palms would get sweaty, and my whole body just felt like a rock, completely stiff. And I would just be internally like shaking like this. And then when I spoke, my voice would be trembling. Mm-hmm. So you would hear it in my voice. So this is very, very quick. We see immediately, we feel it immediately, that the body is telling me something is going on inside me. And that is imposter syndrome talking, basically. But what we try to do, we try to push our way through it, right? We want to overcome it by pushing through it. And what is happening when we have got these body reactions is basically that our nervous system slips from feeling safe into the fight, flight, or freeze mode. So in my case, I would slip into freeze. My body would be telling me, do not speak. Do not speak up. It's too dangerous. You're going to say something stupid. You're going to be fired. They are going to find out you're not good enough and you don't know what you're doing. You're a fraud, right? So when we feel these body reactions, we are slipping to fight, flight, or freeze. And so our nervous system is dysregulated. It's scared. It's feeling there is a danger out there. I am in danger. And so what we want to start learning is actually how to soothe our nervous system and how to bring it back to feeling safe. That's a practice, that's a training, because naturally what we want to do, as I said, we want to push through it, or we just stay quiet and we do not share, right? We do not go out there. We do not reach our potential. And so and yesterday I actually wrote a blog about this, as contra-intuitive this is, when we start really being present and conscious of these bodily signs and signals, we want to start being present with them. And we want to start really feeling like we want to soothe a little child. Let's say when the little child is crying, like you're not going to be pushing a little child and say, do it again, try it again. Da, 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 da. You're going to hug the little child and you're going to say, sweetheart, you're okay. I've got you. I feel you. I'm here for you. And you're safe. And that's what we want to do when we start experiencing these bodily feelings, is literally our nervous system is asking us, can you please soothe me? Because I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And this is our younger child, mm-hmm. by the way. This is a subconscious memory of our younger child remembering something which we consciously can't remember. But literally we are being taken to our younger years, and our younger child is remembering something, and it needs to be soothed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so sitting with these bodily reactions and just holding myself, giving myself a hug, breathing very slowly and gently until I calm down. Of course, you can't do this in the meeting. But that's why, you know, when I work with my clients, we do the tools, we work on this over the time so that it becomes quicker and it becomes more natural. Yeah. And I start learning how to soothe myself.
That's very helpful. Looking to the future now, do you feel the near future? Do you feel that you've got your business plan back on track for 2024? What's next for Mikaela?
Yeah, so for me, definitely. So there are three things for me that are mainstreams. One-to-one are staying my main thing because this is where I really, really see a lot of stuff. And I think what is one thing that I really want to just say is that when I work with my clients, it's not about beating anxieties, right? I'm not the therapist. So we do all this kind of work, and it is about knowing how to soothe ourselves, understanding what is going on in my system, really understanding logically what is happening, but then going into the bodies. But it's, for me, it's really seeing my clients stepping into the potential they did not even know they had. So working through imposter syndrome so that we see what is possible for me, not just because I want to feel less anxious, mm-hmm. but who can I actually be? What can I achieve? What can I experience in life if I step and work through my imposter syndrome challenge, right? So this is very important to understand because we don't even know what we can achieve if we do not do this internal work and we are stopping ourselves. So the one-to-ones are the main ones, definitely the bread and butter for me, because I love the transformations my clients are going through. The other one, the other big thing is the speaking, motivational imposter syndrome engagements, which I have got 5 of them lined up, and I absolutely love seeing the reactions that I'm getting. And then the online world. So I'm going to be doing a masterclass probably beginning of May. So for anybody who would like to stay tuned, please just maybe hop onto my newsletter so that you know when it's coming. And the masterclass is going to be particularly around the challenge. Many people do not know how to ask for a pay rise or a promotion because there is that fear that I can't go and have that conversation because, again, who am I to? I'm going to be told I'm not good enough. So we are going to be doing a masterclass particularly about this challenge of how do I overcome, what do I need to do to actually go and have that conversation. So it's going to be very, very focused on a very narrow topic.
Very good. That's a good practical point on which to finish. Mikaela, we said back to basics, but I think we went to basics and beyond. thank you for that. I greatly appreciate your time, and I do look forward to hearing about the May events online. I will make sure that I promote them in the podcast description. So if there is any detail, you can give me any links at the moment or direct people to your website, they can get in touch with you directly. So I'd just like to say thank you again, Jacqueline Vermi Pegnier. Thank you very much, grazie mille, for my recent visit to Italy. And I do hope your husband recovers fully and it gets much better and that everything settles in nice balance for you and for me as well. I wish that for myself and I wish it for you. And as Stevie Nicks, I think, sang, and Christy McVie, I wish you all the love in the world, but most of all, I wish it for myself.
Beautiful. Thank you so very much, John, for having me again. Yeah, absolutely. If anybody would like to just, you know, stay tuned, we will put the link into my newsletter. So if they want to just jump on the, you know, be part of my community, please do come and join us. And I just want to say, sending loads of love to you, John.
Thank you.
Sending loads of love to everybody who is listening. And compassion, love, and just really feeling into we are not broken, we are all good, and we are on the journey from the day one until, you know, the day we leave this planet. So let's just be gentle and be curious about who we are. That's the most important thing, I think.
And self-care and kindness, I think there's a combination there, kindness to others, but kindness to yourself. And may I say, because I'm going to launch this probably later today, because apparently Thursday is the best day to launch a podcast. People download them and save them for the weekend. Tomorrow, of course, May 8th is International Women's Day. This is International Women's Week. May I wish you a very, very successful day tomorrow, but also successful year and a successful future. Thank you very much indeed, Michaela.
Thank you so very much. Bye.